Blog Talk Radio.
Dead man walking. Republic for which it stands. One nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Put your hands together for this next cowboy. He has written his last seven rules and tonight he's going to try and make it eight.
Here comes the bull down.
Hello, howdy, and welcome to another One Child Rodeo Show right here with the Making Eight Rodeo Network. And we are live from Abilene, Kansas, as we are about to launch a great rodeo week up here. It's the 68th annual Wild Bill Hickok Rodeo. And man, I'm telling you, I'm already getting excited about what's going to happen this week. We're going to talk a lot about that here on our show. But before we do, fans, we got to tell you, we have got a great guest lined up today. If you guys have not heard about him, you better hang tight. The 2004 World Champion Bareback Rider, Kelly Timmerman, is about to be joining us right here on the Making A Rodeo Network. Now, he is also involved with the Professional Westock Series. We're going to get to know about what he has done with them throughout the course of this past year and how things are going. We're going to talk about some of the upcoming events for the Professional Restock Series, including their finals, which will be getting underway in November in South Dakota. So you guys make sure to stay tuned. Man, I'm telling you, what a great show it is going to be today. The phone lines are open if you guys have questions or comments, want to talk a little bit about what's happening with rodeos in your neck of the woods. Feel free to give us a call, 646-915-9940. We also have our live chat room opened up on Blog Talk Radio. You can come on down here, send us a message. You know, we'd love to hear from you. Love to get your comments, your questions, or ideas. We've also got our Twitter page open. You can follow us at Making8, and we'll be happy to take your questions or comments there as well. So make sure to hang tight. Now, yesterday, fans, we had a great, great guest. The Riata Ranch Cowboy Girls called in. Jennifer and Brandy and Shannon, or Sarah, it was so great to talk with them and get to know what things were like at the Riata Ranch and just what they do for the Western Heritage. Man, I was excited. But today, we have got a big one as well. Now, we are live, as we just talked about, made the drive up there from Texas to Kansas here as we're here in Abilene, and man, what great country we're in. Now, I will tell you, the weather is wet. I mean, it is wet in Kansas. I have never seen so many lakes like I have up here, but they're really not lakes. They're actually pastures as we are driving up. The amount of water that is just sitting up here is just crazy. I really hope that maybe down there in Texas we could get a little bit of what is being brought through up here. But despite the weather, despite the rain, despite the mud, we have got a fantastic lineup all week long up here, folks. If you guys are anywhere tuning in right now, you need to make plans to come on over to Abilene, Kansas. Over 500 contestants will be rolling through this weekend. It's going to be big. We've got some of the top names that will be rolling in, and we're going to have an opportunity to share with you what these guys, who these guys are, and just what they have going on as they are winding down the second half of the season, trying to make that surge for the Wrangler National Finals in December. So lots of exciting things happening down here. Now, the PRCA has 28 professional rodeo events going on this weekend, folks. Lots of rodeo taking place all over the U.S. So you have a chance of getting out to one of these professional rodeos and watching a lot of the top-ranked cowboys and cowgirls come through. We're going to start things off tomorrow with a Bulls, Bears, and Bronx. Bulls, Bears, and Bronx. And, you know, that's going to be exciting to watch. It's going to be a kind of a one-night show. We're going to have some highlights. We're going to have photos. So make sure you guys are following along with us on Facebook and on Twitter. As we'll be uploading all these photos, you can also go to MakingItRodeo.com and check out our archives. If you're missing the live streams and the live updates that are coming in, you can always go back and see the photos that are coming in under our photo gallery. We'll have them labeled by each day, so make sure you guys are definitely on board with what is happening out here at these great rodeo events. And, man, like I said, it's going to be a big one here this week, man. Three events are going on here in Kansas, so it's not just this one. So, you know, when you look at the amount of travel that these guys could, you know, the least amount of travel when you're planning these athletes are planning their rodeos, you definitely want to plan on being here in Kansas this time of year, this week. And, you know, we are here. We're going to be watching these guys come through. We're going to be talking about how they're doing at not just this event, but some of the other events that are going on. So it's going to be wild. It's going to be Western all week long, folks. We've got a great guest lined up today. Like I said, Kelly Timmerman, world champion bareback rider. This guy has done so much in his career and, you know, is still making a name for himself with the Professional Rough Stock Series. So I am really excited about being able to sit down and talk with him a little bit, find out how things are going with him and just, you know, how he got involved, how he got brought into where he is today. So that's going to be really good. You guys will have to stay tuned to that. Some of the other things that are happening, I know that the Professional Bull Riders has got some events going on this weekend. I know that one of them will be streamed online, Big Sky, Texas. You guys can go to PBRnow.com and check out the links for that. If you guys are interested in the pay-per-view webcast, you guys can get on board with that and watch a little bit of bull riding going on. But I will tell you that Abilene, Kansas is where those rodeos are going to be. We've got Liesl Harris. We've got Mike Mathis down here. We got some of the top-ranked bullfighters. Man, it just the list goes on of the amount of talent that's going to be right here in Abilene. So, like I said, the weather, I don't know. We'll certainly pray for some clear skies, but I can tell you one thing. The arena is wet. The back pins are muddy. And, it's rodeo. That's what it's all about. Nice, beautiful day out today. So we will for sure be getting ready to get things going. What else is going on in the rodeo world today? I know that Skeeter Kingsolver had reported that he actually had himself a pretty good weekend this past weekend. And as he was out at some events this weekend. So congratulations to him. I know he actually placed in one event and won the other one. So a great job for Skeeter Kingsolver. It's great to hear his name and see him excited about getting back on track and making some of these rides and doing what he's doing, doing what he loves to do. I know he's been traveling with Austin Meyer a bunch this summer, and, you know, we look forward to seeing those guys roll through as well. Who knows? They may even be stopping by here. We'll have to take a look, and we'll talk about it during the week as we get the day sheets coming in, and we'll let you know who's going to be here, what's going to be happening. Like I said, we'll have interviews. We'll have highlights from the rounds, and then Saturday, we will have a rodeo wrap-up where we will air and talk about the results. We'll find out who wins. And then, of course, Sunday, we'll be back with our rodeo report. We'll check in with some of our other correspondents. We'll talk about some of the results from other professional rodeos and bull ridings that'll be going on. So make sure to stay tuned. Folks, you guys are going to get a lot of the Making 8 Rodeo Network as we fire up our lunch hour rodeo shows here the remainder of the week, Monday through Friday, 11 o'clock Central Time. You can always catch us live, and then you can go back and listen to our archives anytime you want, folks. So make sure to keep tuning in to Making8Rodeo.com. I also want to send a big old shout-out to our friends at KWBY. You know, it's really cool. We've got the Making 8 Rodeo bus out here. We've got a little canopy set up on the outside. We've even got a speaker that's streaming KWBY out here in Abilene, Texas. So great to have our listeners from Stephenville tuning in right now on KWBY. Fans, we're going to take a short break, and when we come back, it's going to be all about the bareback riding with world champion bareback rider Kelly Timmerman in the Professional Rough Stock Series. So stay tuned. More to come on the Lunch Hour Rodeo Show.
Hey, this is Casey Donahue, and you are listening to the Making 8 Rodeo Network, your home for complete rodeo coverage.
Extreme Sports Medics, for the most in medical standbys. Extreme Sports Medics has it all. With offices in Kansas, Missouri, Ohio, Oklahoma City, and Texas, and can be licensed in any state. Contact Extreme Sports Medics for your next event. Whether it's a race or sporting event, company picnic or party, Special Olympics or Relay for Life event. One call does it all. Also providing certified medical bullfighters and specialty acts for your next rodeo. Extreme Sports Medics is proud to provide medical standby for International Finals Rodeo and the 2012 ACRA Medical Team of the Year. Also an official dealer for Two Bulls Sports Rub. ExtremeSportsMedics.com.
Give me 10 bulls and I'll cover all 10. I'm the best that there's ever been.
I sleep in my truck and I drive through the rain. Getting down hard at Wycane.
Catch all the rodeo action with Scott Masick and Making 8 Rodeo Network. The best in Texas red dirt and southern rock music and everything rodeo. We've got you covered. Two words. Cowboy up. KWBY.
Humps and Horns Bull Riding Magazine, the world's largest bull riding publication, is now featuring barebacks and saddle broncs, as well as tons of information and articles on the extreme sport of bull riding. From the PBR to the MBR, and all occasions in between, Humps and Horns covers it all. Subscribe today for the low price of just $35, and receive a new issue in your mailbox every month for a year. Visit us at humpsandhorns.com, or call 866-464-6397 to get your subscription started today. Remember, if you like bull riding, you'll love Humps and Horns.
Howdy folks, Scott here with the Making 8 Rodeo Network, inviting you to come down to Making8Rodeo.com. For all of your bull riding and rodeo information, come check us out and get a grip. We've got weekly radio shows, live internet video streaming, and much, much more. Also home of Bucky the Bull. So don't miss out on an opportunity to sit back with other fans like yourself. Come check us out at Making8Rodeo.com. Get a grip.
Climbed up to Enchanted Rock, drink a cold shiner down in Lickenbach, taking your baby to the river walk. You ain't met my Texas yet. If you haven't floated down the El Frio, heard red dirt music on your radio, Eden Cooper's down in Llano, you ain't met my Texas yet. You haven't been to the Houston Rodeo, saying carry on at a packed green show. If you ain't seen an Abilene sunset, you ain't met my Texas yet.
got a drive down in Port A. Heard the words to Corpus Christi Bay. Never seen fireworks on PK. You ain't at my Texas yet. Haven't had a Kolache when you go through West. Never heard of the Mary Jo Taylor Fest. Ain't polished pop country crap sounds the best. You ain't met my Texas yet. Haven't been to the Fort Worth Stock Show. Sang along with Corey Moore. If you ain't in a hill country sunset, you ain't met my Texas yet.
You haven't hiked through Big Bend, had your hair blown back by Lubbock wind, and been somewhere where they call you friend. You ain't met my Texas yet. You haven't been to the San Antonio Rodeo, singing a clear out of Crager show. If you ain't seen an El Paso sunset, yet. No, you ain't met my Texas yet.
Hey, this is Sam Riggs of Sam Riggs and the Night People, and you're listening to the Making 8 Rodeo Network.
Welcome back to the Once Out Radio Show right here with the Making A Radio Network as we are kicking off your Tuesday morning or afternoon, whatever the case is in your time zone. But, man, how exciting is this? Now, I told you earlier in our show, fans, we have got a great guest lined up for today, and he is on the line. So let's go ahead and bring on the 2004 World Champion Bareback Rider, Kelly Timmerman. Kelly, welcome to the Lunch Hour Radio Show, my friend.
Man, I'm excited, guys. Thanks for having me on board.
Absolutely, absolutely. Anytime. Man, I got to say, first off, where are you at right now? What are you up to these days?
To be honest, right now at this moment, I'm just finishing up a roof on a building. Me and my brother built houses here in Casper, and I've been working. So I build houses during the day, and I ride poles at night. That's kind of my home gig right now.
Right. Well, I'll tell you, it's nice that you can take your lunch hour break and sit back with us here for a few minutes, man. We're glad to have you here. Well, Kelly, tell us a bit about tell us about your career and how you got started in bareback riding.
Man, you know, I grew up in an indoor arena here in Casper, and it was called J. Flegg Indoor Arena. And I grew up with, you know, Dale Stiles and Casper College coming to there and practicing every twice a week, you know, getting on bucking horse, all that. My dad rodeoed for years. He was actually an all-around cowboy, team rope, calf rope, steer wrestle. He was a really good bareback rider, rode Bronx, and he was a really good bull rider. And for some reason, out of all those, I just fell in love with that bareback riding. And I got to meet guys like Chris LeDoux, just lived an hour away. So, I got to see these guys going down the road all the time. Louis Field, Joe Alexander, Bruce Ford. I mean, just some of the elite guys out there. And I can remember going behind those chutes and seeing those guys. I wanted to be a rodeo guy so bad I could just taste it. And the funny thing about that was my dad's career didn't last as long as he wanted to, and after his career was over, us boys were just done with rodeo. He wouldn't allow us to hardly even rope anymore, and I just always had this desire to get into it. And when I left home, I moved to Colorado right after high school and started riding cutting horses up there, and I did an apprenticeship for a year. Well, Bruce Ford was right there at Kersey, which is not even an hour away, and I had some buddies that were going down, the Smithy brothers from Greeley, were going down to get on some practice horse. And I think Sankey was there to look at some livestock he was going to buy from Bruce. Bruce always selling some, you know, for horse flesh. And I've been riding those cutting horse colts, and we talked about my dad rodeoing, and Bruce knew my dad, you know, and And they asked me, said, hey, Kelly, you want to go with us and get on some horses? And I said, heck yeah. I said, I don't have any equipment. I don't have a rig, and I don't have a spur. I don't have nothing. And they said, no, we'll loan you some stuff. Billy Dermody lent me the rig in and a glove and some spurs. And went down, they gave me this little school in the driveway on a saddle horse, just told me how to pull my rig and kind of where to step my feet and go with it, you know. And we went out there, and I got on three horses, and I rode every single one. And the last colt I got on just really blew up in front of Schutz. It was wild. But before I got on him, Bruce came up, and he said, hey, son, you ready to get bucked off? And I said, I ain't getting bucked off. And he said, well, there's a dollar in it for you if you do. And, boy, I give that sucker everything I had. I don't know if it looked pretty or not, but I was flying with my feet and doing everything I could and got off on the pick of man and came back. And sure enough, Bruce gave me my first dollar bill. And I tell you what, since then I was hooked. I was hooked. Every time I'd see Bruce, he'd say, you still getting on the bareback horse? You still going? And my career just started from there, you know, and they just.
Wow.
The nice thing about my dad's career, my dad was kind of one of those guys that did the party and the socializing and really didn't portray it as a profession. And he always told me, you know, once I got into it, I got offered a scholarship to go to Casper College, and I took him up on that, and I made the CNFR the 2 years that I went to college, first in the nation my first year, and then I ended up third, I think, my second year. And then it was just one of those things. My dad was always in my corner about being a professional, taking it to a different level and being more. And to be honest, you know, that push right there gave me a lot of incentive on sponsorship, but just my overall work ethic. I was a big athlete in high school. I was all-state football 3 years in a row, three positions. I made all-state. I won state in wrestling at 145. So I really utilized, and I didn't know anything about rodeo, so I utilized those sports to pursue my rodeo career. And that work ethic, that accountability, the goal setting, the daily method of operation, and just the pure being a professional out there on the road was the main reason that I'm successful. And, you know, I see these guys that go out and they drink all night and then they, you know, sleep till noon or three the next day and then they go get on. I wasn't that guy. If I wanted to go out, I went out. But I got up in the morning, went to work, and then I went to rodeo. I kicked their butt. You know, I didn't want to be a donor. I wanted to be a winner. And,
that's right.
You know, looking back now in my career, man, I'm proud of that, you know, because I see there's a lot of young guys that are starting to pursue it more of an athletic scenario and being more professional and being respectful. And that cowboy image is really coming across at an athlete standpoint where they're the best athletes in the world. And on top of that, they're some of the best human beings in the world. It's about time that we showcased them.
You know what? You're right about that, Kelly. I don't think anybody could say it any better than that. I mean, really, you really summed up that. I mean, you started off winning your first dollar bill right after high school, and of course, you have won a lot of dollar bills since then. You know, and for you to sit back and look at it from that perspective is great, man. I wish more cowboy athletes, even the younger ones especially, would look at it from that standpoint. It's not just a show. Yeah. It's not just time to get out there. I mean, if you want to be successful, you have to have that drive and that professionalism and the discipline to get up every morning.
Absolutely.
And I know you still get up at, like, every morning and run like 2 miles a day, don't you?
Yeah, you know, not 2 miles, but I dang sure run and work out. And I still, you know, what I did with my career is I built a business plan. And the business plan is everything from my daily method of operation, my workouts, my goal setting, my power positivity. It could be anything from the winning edge. I mean, all of that. And what I've done is I put that into a system where I train athletes. So not only am I still in the gym, because honestly, when you retire at the level that I'm at, you got to do something to cope with it, you know. And for me,
sure,
giving back to these young guys and teaching them the work ethic and the goal setting and accountability and all those things is a true blessing. But it was the main reason that I won so many championships, and at the same time I qualified for seven trips to the NFR. And to be able to showcase that and give that to people, that's a great blessing. You know, it really is. And I enjoy that. And one thing that these young people don't realize is guys like us, when we start out, we suck too. I mean, it just doesn't happen forever. I mean, yeah, you jump out there, you might have a little bit of talent, but you still aren't where you want to be in the get-go. It takes a lot of work, a lot of try, a lot of discipline, to get there. And once you get there, it's awesome. But it does take a lot of struggle. You know what's funny about all of that? Those hard knocks and those struggles and that work ethic and everything that I put into it, those are the times that I remember the most. I remember missing a horse out of Houston to win it. I had Wild Woman of Birches. This is when she was at her prime, best horse in the world. And I miss her out with both legs, and I'm coming and winning Houston by 5 points. I mean, I have them dead to rights. And I miss her out. I had her great, and they get me. And, man, I get off that horse, and I remember wanting to point to everybody and make excuses. And I look back at that about, you know, right when I got back to the locker room, and I was so disgusted in myself that I don't remember getting home. This is Houston all the way to Casper, Wyoming. I flew home. I don't remember my dad picking me up from the airport. Nothing. And this was in 04, the year I won my championship. And I remember one day I woke just set straight up out of bed early in the morning, just straight up out of bed. And I said, you know what? I am not going to let that beat me, because this is 2 weeks later. I mean, it was tearing me up, you know. And I said, I'm not going to let that beat me. You know, I never missed out another horse from then until I retired.
Wow.
You know, that's what's taking your small setbacks, your failures, and turning them into a positive and building your career in doing so. And that's life. I don't care what anybody says. Something great has come out of something horrific that's happened in your life. It's built you up to be a better person. If you kept your head up and kept moving forward, it's done something amazing for your life. You know, and it could be rodeo,
absolutely,
it could be school, it could be family. It doesn't matter. Those great successes in life, those great opportunities always come from a setback or a failure. We just got to keep our heads up and keep moving.
That's right. Man, Kelly, now I know why the Professional Rest Stop Series has brought you on, because you're just such an ambassador for the sport, man. You get me fired up. I'm ready to go just on a bareback horse now. I mean, it's unreal, man. I mean, you motivate so many, and it's great that you're actually working with the youth and teaching the young athletes of today how to carry on and be successful, man. That's so important. Was it hard for you? I mean, 2004, you had been rodeoing for a couple years professionally, and you made your first trip to the Wrangler National Finals. Not only did you win the World Championship in 2004, but you also won the Wrangler National Finals there. How hard was it for you after that to continue that drive and that power? I mean, now that you won the world and said, I'm the world champion bareback rider, I mean, was it very hard to stay disciplined to keep up with your training?
Absolutely. Absolutely it is. I mean, that all depends on who you travel with, you know, things that you fall into. And absolutely it was, you know, and that's part of it. You gotta stay disciplined. And when I came back, and most people don't know, in 04 I was injured. I had a shoulder that I had tore out, my free arm. And had got through the finals in pretty good shape. And then after winning the world, I thought, well, I'll keep rodeoing because it still feels halfway decent. Well, it cost me another half a year. I mean, I just went to the bottom of the ring because it literally was affecting my riding pretty serious. And I wasn't taking the time to get healthy. And anyway, I came into the 05 season, and I couldn't even hold my arm up. I had ended up tearing up all the ligaments in my riding arm and my right above my forearm, right by my elbow. And I literally had to keep an ice machine on that arm the whole time at the finals. I'd get on and my arm would literally be numb. And when I got off, you know, it would just kill ache. But I got through that. And I had a game plan going in. If you watch that year, it's kind of funny. If you watch that year, I hold my feet for 3 jumps right out of the chutes, and then I spurt. And I figured if I could hold my feet 3 jumps on every horse, I could make it through 8 seconds and maybe make some money. And I ended up winning the average that year. It paid off a big dividend. But I got the shoulder fixed, and then another year really cost me, because then I had to kind of almost had to learn to ride all over again. I had an equipment maker that kind of was going out of business, so I had to transfer over to Barstow Creek. I rode Beastmaster at the time. Dennis Schmidt was still one of the best riggins I've ever ridden. And we switched over, and that took me a little while because nothing felt the same and it was different. And so, I mean, those 3 or 4 years there, it was darn sure nip and tuck and really work my butt off and get back. And then the last 3 years of my career, I just really had it out there and went for it. And I ended up in the top 3 of the world every year that year. And for a guy a guy from up north. You can ask the Garretts or any of those guys that are, you know, that go to the finals from up around Wyoming, Colorado maybe, and even Montana. It takes a lot of discipline, a lot of try, a lot of luck. I mean, because we don't have the availability of being able to ride bucking horse in our backyard every weekend. You know, we got to travel
right.
and expand, and it's hard. So, you know, it definitely
yeah.
takes the dedication. But I have to be honest, on top of all of that, I have two children. My son is 19 now, and my daughter is 17. And I tell you, I didn't have the luxury not to be successful. I paid $1,700 in child support. I had my house payments and then bills. And if I wasn't being successful on the road, I couldn't go. I couldn't fulfill my dreams. And so that's
wow.
one reason that I had that push, is because I had a little incentive in the back office saying, hey, you got to win or you don't get to go, you know.
Right. Sure. Well, let's talk about what made you decide to hang up your spurs and decide
okay.
to be obviously you're still involved, very active around the sport. I mean, it's one thing that you just can't get away from. Once you're there, you just can't just pull away from it. But what made you decide to hang up your spurs?
Well, you know, I got a lot of passion for rodeo. I love it, and I'm still as fit as I. As a matter of fact, I might be in the best shape of my life right now, training these young guys. The reason I retired didn't have anything to do with an injury, didn't have anything to do with anything besides my daughter. She moved in with me when her sophomore year, which is 2 years ago, and basically I was coming back from a small injury, got healthy, healed up, was getting ready to rodeo again full-time, and sat her down and asked her, you know, we need to come up with a game plan and figure out what to do, and she just teared up and asked me not to go. Didn't want me to be rodeoing anymore, wanted me to be home to take care of her and be a part of her high school life, you know, and just be there for her. And so I
wow.
quit. I finished out the year for State of Wyoming as my sponsor, Justin Boots, Wrangler, you know, had some really just preferred, some great key sponsors. So I finished out the year for them and went to some of the big shows, Cheyenne and Calgary, and, you know, made a good 4th of July run. But after Cheyenne, I was done. And I haven't been
wow.
on anything since. And my daughter's a senior now. And it was the best decision of my life. It really was, because I'm able to be here for her. You know, it's funny, I train a lot of athletes, and I don't train my daughter, but she is a star athlete in track. But I do teach her the goal setting, the accountability, and she is unbelievable. She won state in 2 events this last year as a junior in track, and she's got scholarships for anywhere pretty much that she wants to go. And you know, that's a great feeling for a dad to be involved with that and really try to make your life, your daughter's life better. And my goal for her is, while I'm at home, I give her a better life, give her an opportunity to have a better life after high school when she's out on the road. And part of that's just, you know, being around me and learning to be respectful and just a decent human being and having that good, strong work ethic, but then also wanting things and having dreams and being able to go after those dreams and just conquer life, take it by the horns, you know?
Wow. Wow, that is inspiring, and I know, you know, when you have kids, it certainly has an effect on where you go and just what road you go down, you know, and man, that's great. Now, are either one of them involved in rodeo at all?
Say that again?
Are either one of your kids involved in rodeo at all?
No, you know, my son still wrestled for a little while, but not, you know, not really. And that's something I never push my kids to do. Even though I love rodeo, I never wanted to push them for 2 reasons. Because I want them to be their own person. I didn't want them to feel like they had to follow my shoes and feel my shoes type deal, you know. And then on top of that, if they didn't want to do it on their own accord, they wouldn't have the work ethic or that desire, that try to be successful. And when you don't work at it and you're doing the events that I do, or rodeo in general, it's dangerous. It's not something that you just do half-assed. Excuse my language. You just don't. You go do it full-time, put your effort into it, or don't do it, you know?
Sure.
So I want them to find their own path. I really did.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, listen, we've got to talk a little bit about the Professional Rough Stock Series. Now, since you
absolutely.
Have hung up your spurs, this has been an organization that has continues to grow, and it keeps getting bigger and bigger every year. I think this year was fantastic, as I got to actually go to my first event in Gonzales, Louisiana, which is probably one of the best events of the year so far, I think.
But tell us a little bit about what you do with the Professional Rough Stock Series.
Okay. Well, first of all, you know, I took the job with them. They got a hold of me in December, and I wanted to be a part of the PRS. I've always rode for them. You know, I just really believe in what they're doing. They're the best events in the world, far better than any PRCA rodeo out there, and second to none to some of the just best rough stock rodeos ever, you know. And
right.
They gave me the opportunity to come in as a commentator and basically educate the public on what bareback riding and bronc riding is. From the animal aspect, you know, animal athletes, all the way to the riding styles, to the feel of the horses. I mean, just the nip and tuck of all of it. And my expertise in being, you know, involved with rodeo so much and being knowledgeable about so many things gave me the opportunity to really be an asset for them.
Right. Well, and it certainly has. I mean, really, I know that so many people have been involved or gotten to know what the Professional Rough Stock Series is all about and what bareback and saddlebark riding really is because of those the commentary and the things that you do. So, man, that is exciting. I know that the Professional Rough Stock Series has got some great events coming up this year. What has been your favorite event so far to be at this year?
You know, Gonzales was one of my favorites. I'm not going to lie. I love the people down there. I love everything about it was awesome. I kind of took over and started helping Spud pick the horses for the events, and Gonzales was my first one. And I had Stace Smith and, you know, Klein's there and Chad, I'm going to get his last name wrong because it's a hard one. But I had some guys there that were just unbelievable, you know, and to have that, and then I also go around and I did a lot of contestant calls and talked to some of the guys that are top in the world, like Cody DeMoss and Clint Cannon, and, you know, you get that star caliber on top of the best horse in the world. I mean, you got a star-packed event, and that's what the PRS is all about. And on top of that, the professionalism that we put out there is second to none. The one thing that
sure.
was a good big push for me to slow down in the PRCA was strictly the judging. And it wasn't that they were bad to me or anything. They weren't. You know, I'm not going to say that they were. They were pretty decent to me. But when I sat out there and I watched guys that are winning, that should never be winning, and, you know, that they're doing things outside the arena that aren't right, but even show up to the rodeo and don't even ride half as good as some of these guys that are going down the road. They have families that are working their butt off, but ride outstanding and never get a chance to go to the finals. For what reason? I don't know why. I don't get it. It's a political
right.
mess. It's just junk. And those judges, they don't have anybody to answer to. They can literally wrap
right.
you every time they want to, and there's nobody to say the wise. Nothing they can do about it. Now, that's not the case on our scenario. We have the best judges in the world. It's fair. It's the way it's supposed to be. And if they don't do a good job, they are accountable for it. They do have to answer
right.
to somebody. And by God, that's the way it's supposed to be. And every aspect of the event is as professional as it gets. You see the top quality athletes, but you might be a Joe Blow show and knock the hair off of something, and you're going to win first if you deserve it. You know what I mean? And that's why
Absolutely.
I support this organization so much, is because that's the way it's supposed to be. If you got a guy that's out there that's twice the athlete of everybody else, that's working his tail off, and he outrides everybody, then he deserves to win. Not the guy that's your favorite or the guy that you see, you know, making the finals every year. No, it shouldn't be status quo. It should show up and say, hey, if this guy outrode you, I'm sorry, you're not going to win today, you know?
Right, yep. You know, I'm not going to take, you know, and defend judges out there, because I myself, even participating, have seen a lot of that. You know, it happens, and I understand it's very hard to put your personal feelings aside, but as a judge, that's your job, you know? It's not to be personal about it. It's a business, and you have to judge what is there. And, you know, I would not want a judge's job to begin with, but what I see at the Professional Rough Stock Series is, I mean, it is top quality, and they score them legitimately. And, I mean, if you're a 90-point rod, you're a 90-point rod. You earn every bit of that. And it's great watching. And I don't think, like I said, it couldn't have gone any better. And of course, this is all unscripted. I mean, you know, you can't script something as amazing as what happened in Gonzales with Corsair. winning the Saddle Bronc and having that re-ride. But after, I mean, just that show that he put on at the end really got the crowd on its feet, and I mean, just, it was electric. It really was.
Yeah. Well, you know, and that's the fun part of these events is it is all electric. I mean, you got the bareback ride and the bronc ride and the bull ride, the two most extreme, or the three most extreme events in rodeo, you know. And then you, on top of that, you got charismatic guys like Court Shear that has a horse come out and fall down in the bronc ride, falls completely to his side, and bails up. And not only does Court ride him up, but also keeps the stirrups and spurns the dog out, and then hat whips and bails off, lands on his feet, and struts back. I mean, how cool is that? That's cowboy all the way. You know, it was just
fun. Oh, yeah.
And then I would have let him win the event right there. I mean, that was awesome. Well, then he gets on his re-ride, comes back right after. His saddle was broke when the horse fell down. So he had to go on the saddle real quick, get it set up for him within 2 minutes. You know how hard that is in a bronc, right? And he gets on a NFR qualified horse. I mean, one of the best horses in the world. And wins the finals, wins the short go. I mean, that guy is he's an honest, true cowboy. Ropes great, can pick up with anybody, and man, can he spur broncs. But afterwards, what a showman. What a showman. He is he's just cool to watch.
Absolutely, and there's so much of that happens at the Professional Rough Stock Series. Now, let's talk about, I know that there's a couple more events that are coming up, and then, of course, the big one would be the finals in South Dakota in November. So tell us a little bit about those.
Man, I tell you what, our next stop is going to be at Loveland, Colorado, which is pretty close to home for me. So we're looking at some great livestock to come in there, some stuff that, we've had a few contests where we threw probably three out of the four bareback riders in the final four off. I mean, we've had some juice, you know, so we're definitely going to be bringing that. The arena where it's at is inside the Budweiser Center, and I mean, it is going to be electric with the techno, the music, the sound, it's just everything you want, the fireworks, the flames, I mean, you name it, you know, it's like rock and roll, it's like a rock and roll concert on dirt is what it is, you know, and
sure.
From a standpoint of that, build up to our finals, the finals is going to be in Rapid City this year, and what a great opportunity, too, because, you know, the quality of livestock that's up north, that we've seen already, and then some stuff that we're going to be seeing at these next events is just going to be fantastic. And I don't know if you've ever been to the, I'm sure you have right there at the, where they have the stock show and rodeo and everything.
Yes.
The setup that they're putting in there is a different setup than what you would see at a normal rodeo. And I tell you what, it is going to be exciting. And the amount of money that they're adding to this event is just unbelievable. But the build-up, the guys that we have coming, you're going to see the top guys in the world. We got our high money winners, our high, you know, point placers coming in. And then you're also going to see some guys that are going to sneak in from the bottom standpoint that are really building up for this final run that it's anybody's game. There's so much money involved
right.
in anybody's game. And that's what's fun is it's a race. You know, it's everybody's going to be chasing that Josie Young. And that Josie Young knows that he isn't slacking off a bit. He's just pushing it every step of the way. And then you look at our bronc ride. I mean, I don't know any association where you compete against, you know, what, 11 other guys, best guys in the world, but you only compete against them one time at each event. So what an opportunity to win some money. Usually you're competing against 72 or more, you know.
Right.
But at one point in time, you're going to be able to see at that final the very best elite athletes in the world, right, 2 days in a row. And then on top of that, you're going to see a caliber of horse that you've never seen it before. We don't take just one stock contractor. We go out and we grab as many contractors as we need that have those elite horses, and we bring them. You know, same deal with our bull riders. Same deal. You know, so
talk
about quality and professionalism. Come and watch our livestock. Just come and see these horses. Come and see the bronc. You know, we got a horse out there, old Birch's Lunatic Fringe. I mean, he's the poster child of what bronc riding should be. He is just every single time phenomenal. Good to look at, big, pretty. You know, he's a daddy. He's got some colts out on the ground that you see that'll be bucking at the finals probably. And, you know, he's a producer, and those are fun to see. And at the same time, if you look at, oh, man, Chuckulator. What can you say about that Chuckulator? That, you know, such
that's
a
right.
big stud horse, same deal. Horse of the Year last year in the Saddle Bronc Ride in the PRCA, same deal for us, Horse of the Year. I mean, those two match up is is something. You know, Chuck Schmidt just had that horse at Belle Fouche, was 91, and was every point of 91. It was, when you see a bronc ride that many points, that's doing something. You know, and that's the PRS. That's what we're bringing to you guys. And hopefully we'll break some records there at the finals and really showcase what this truly is. You know, it's just like PBR, but a step higher. You know, we've got two horse events that are right about where the PBR is, and our bull ride just start to pick up and get there also. We've got some guys that are coming back that are going to be fun to showcase this year. So stay tuned. Yep. It's going to get exciting.
Absolutely. Well, you know, leading up to, I know, like I said, you guys are winding down. There's only a few events left, but they can always go to the website, you know, prowrestling.com, and find the results and find out where these events are going to be held. South Dakota's coming up in November, be the finals, and it's going to be great. In the meantime, RFD-TV rebroadcast these events. So if these fans are listening that want a taste of what the professional rest stop is about, you won't get the same feels when you're there, but I can guarantee it's great to watch.
It is, you know, and those are every Friday at 8 and every Sunday at 12:30. But through those days, they still air two or three of the previous events that are cut, you know, that have already played on RFD-TV, and then also the new episode will be on that evening like that. So, and that's Mountain Time. And then also, I talked to Brian with Sky Entertainment up there in South Dakota. They do all the editing. And they're going to start putting some of the shows on the Internet. So you can actually log on to the website and start watching some of the PRS events right there. And then on top of that, you get to see the athlete bios, the stock bios, the interviews, and really get to kind of hone in and personalize with what we're doing, and hopefully really become a fan and a follower. That's what we're needing.
That's right.
We want people to be inspired as much as I'm inspired, you know?
That's right. Absolutely. Well, I'll tell you what, you guys have got us fired up, and, you know, we've got a lot of finals that we'll be covering around that time. And of course, we'll be ready to go to Vegas in December, but there's nothing planned in November. I think that it would be, you know, just fitting for us to be there in South Dakota and Rapid City for the Professional Restock Series Finals. And we look forward to being up there and spending some time with you guys, Kelly. It'll be great.
Man, I'd love it. Bring me on air again. Heck, I'll get that old sled. He's hard to get anything out of, but we'll bring him in anyway and see if he can chat about bull ride.
There we go. There we go. That sounds good. Well, Kelly, I'm going to let you get back to work, my friend, but I want to say thank you, man. It has been great having you on our radio show, and we look forward to having you on again.
Thank you, guys. God bless you, and I sure appreciate all the opportunity you've given us.
Absolutely, Kelly. Well, take care and have a great day.
You too. Take her easy. Bye.
All right, guys. That was 2004 World Champion Burmack Rider Kelly Timmerman, and wow, how exciting is this guy? He's got me fired up, I'm telling you. Sammy Andrews is down here with some bareback horses. I may have to go see if I'm getting on one. Just his work ethics and his professionalism. What a great representative for the Professional Restock Series. Man, they really did well in bringing him in, and so excited. I mean, but that's the caliber of what the Professional Restock Series brings to the fans is guys like Kelly Timmerman and just such class. So I want to thank him and thank the Professional Restock Series for letting us have an opportunity to sit down with them, talk about what's going on. And I'm telling you, South Dakota, Rapid City there in November, it's going to be exciting. And if you guys want to find out more information and stay up to tune, and I will tell you, we were just scanning over and looking at what was going on. You can also find some of the video highlights, like Cora Shear's ride from Gonzales, Louisiana, on ProRestock.com. So you guys make sure to get over there. You can also watch their telecast on RFD-TV on Fridays and on Sundays. And, man, I'm telling you, don't miss out on an opportunity to get to a Professional Restock Series event. So, fans, we've got to take a short break. When we come back, we're going to wrap things up here on a Tuesday Once You Have a Rodeo Show. Make sure you stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Rodeo Safety One. manufacturing some of the best equipment for making yourself or your rodeo event the safest it can be. With bucking chute crash pads made with the toughest foam inserts from BFCI, the makers of NASCAR safety equipment. Box pads with 1.5 high density foam protection, great for marketing and advertisements during your events. Also selling the best in rodeo equipment, from bull ropes, gloves, and spurs, to ride right safety vests and the hottest products right now. Your rodeo logbook, great for when the IRS comes knocking on your door. Don't accept the liability. Protect the animals and cowboys at your next rodeo. For more information or packages, visit RodeoSafety1.com and find them on Facebook.
This is pro angler Jay Brainerd. When I'm on the water, I'm listening to KWBY, Cowboy Capital Cowboy Radio.
Partner, you know what time it is.
Are you crazy?
Let him out, boys.
The Making Eight Rodeo Network is live, and I have got to tell you, to be down here with good friends and have the support that we've had down here was just amazing.
Catch all the rodeo action with Scott Masick and Makin' 8 Rodeo Network right here on KWBY, 107.9 FM and 98.5 FM. Live reports from rodeos all over the country, rodeo wrap-ups, and interviews with the top cowboys and cowgirls in the sport. Check out makin8rodeo.com for videos and links, as well as kwbyradio.com. As we have teamed up to bring you the best in music and rodeo. Your source for rodeo news just got bigger. Making 8 Rodeo Network and KWBY. Only on Cowboy Capital, Cowboy Radio.
I love watching you together.
Rap.
by morning.
Catch all the rodeo action with Scott Masick and Making 8 Rodeo Network.
All right, welcome back to a lunch hour radio show right here with the Making 8 Rodeo Network. And boy, I've got to say, what an exciting day we have had talking with Kelly Timmerman. You know, man, you just couldn't have gone any better in my book. What a great time and what a great way to set things off. As we are live from Abilene, Kansas, for the 68th Annual Wild Bill Hickok Rodeo, and it's going to be great. Now, here's what's going on. Tomorrow, we will be back here for another great Lunch Hour Rodeo show. We've got a fantastic guest set to call in tomorrow, so we're just going to continue on with the great things that are happening right here on Making 8 Rodeo Network. We start things off here in the performance tomorrow morning. Slack gets underway. Then we've got a Bulls, Bronx, and Barrels event that starts tomorrow evening at 7:30. Thursday, we've got a parade down here in downtown Abilene. Then we've got our first performance Thursday night. Friday night, we'll be tough enough to wear pink night. Saturday, now I'm hearing rumors that there's a little competition going. There's a softball match set between the committee and the rodeo personnel, between the Andrews Rodeo Company and his crew, against the rodeo committee. I've already been told that we needed to be drafted to work on the committee side, so we'll have to see how things go. But you can definitely plan on staying tuned to some of the action as we put it out there on our social media network. So follow us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter to get all of that action. And then, of course, we've got a great wrap-up Saturday night after the performance before we make our way back home to Northeast Texas. So it's going to be a great time. Now, fans, we always like to leave you with a little cowboy logic, and as we're running short on time, we're going to throw it right at you. Just remember, every trail has a few pedals in it. You know, it doesn't matter. You can always get through them, but no matter what you endure in life, you're always going to cross some obstacles. You just got to ride through them. And that is our show today, folks. Make sure you tune in tomorrow, 11 o'clock Central Time, as we are back here for another Lunch Hour Rodeo show. So until then, make sure to get a grip. Enjoy your day. We'll see you tomorrow.
Wild horses and honky-tonking bars drive the man to chase gold buckles and guitars. I don't do it for the money. I can't blame the fame. Been a long, hard ride, still I saddle up just the same. I'm rolling right along, sky above is blue. I got the winter rolled down and I'm listening to Chris LeDoux. Half a can of caffeine running through my veins. Riding rain or shine and I'm never pulling back the reins. Now you may not see me on your TV, I'm seldom heard on your radio, but if you're looking, you might just find me somewhere between the road and the rodeo.